I'm excited about today. I believe that God is moving in a direction that we in this earth, the people in this earth, and I'm talking people, everybody, not just Christians, need to hear, need to understand, need to be made aware of. And guess who's going to be doing the making aware of? You and me. How else will they know? How else? Now, when they are still here, heaven forbid, during the tribulation period, there will be angels going around proclaiming the gospel. The Bible says that. But guess what? We're not in the tribulation times. So angels are not flying around proclaiming the gospel just as of yet. You and me are left in this earth for a reason, for a purpose, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Some of us do that in many different ways. Some just live our life before other people. Some take a more active role and speak into people's lives. However the Holy Spirit ministers to you to minister to people, be obedient to do it. Amen? Amen. All right. Y'all sure?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. I know it's summer. I know it's hot. Maybe all of us need to go to Colorado, spend some time up in those snow-capped mountains. I just want to get right into this. So last week we talked a little bit about discernment, right? I gave you a definition of what discernment was, and it's the quality of being able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure, the ability to be able to grasp and comprehend what is obscure, an act of perceiving something. And I said that discernment of His grace, we were talking about restoration, and I heard Him, I come in through the door, it was amazing. I come in through the door this morning, and every Sunday at 9:30, we meet for prayer right here in the sanctuary, and I didn't make it to prayer this morning, but I came in the door and I heard, "Restore, restore, restore," the battle cry that is going out from this place to bring restoration, not only in your life, your personal life, not only in this church's life, not only in this community's life, but in the world. And the only way restoration can come, I believe, is by understanding His grace. His grace. Having discernment of His grace. In fact, turn over to Romans chapter 5. How many are still in the book of Romans? Reading, studying. Tremendous, tremendous book. I mean, they all are, yes. And I believe that every word in this God-inspired book is profitable. I do believe that there are times when the Holy Spirit will bring attention to certain aspects of this book for the time that we are in. And I cannot get away from the book of Romans, so I am assuming that the Holy Spirit is wanting us to take some time and study this book out. If you're not studying it, take some time, at least read this book. And then once you've read it, read it again. And then once you've read it again, read it again. And start trusting and believing that the Holy Spirit is going to start revealing things to you through this tremendous book, the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 5, and I want to read verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified for the most part today. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through Him also we have our access, our entrance, our introduction by faith into this grace into this grace that we're talking about, this state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. That's what restoration is, enjoying the glory of God. Amen? Let us do this. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. We've talked about that. Not in the, you know, the sweet by and by. Thank you, Kelvin. I knew you would know those words. They probably made many songs about those words. Not in the sweet by and by, but now. We're to have joy now, people. Joy now. When you go through Kroger, when you go through Food Lion, when you go through Walmart, wherever you go and shop, and you see that person that looks like they just ate a lemon, or, you know, they spent too much time in the sun and they look like that commercial where the grapes would dance around and turn into raisins. Think about this verse. We're to be experiencing joy now. Joy now. Don't walk around all sour and prune-faced. Have a joy in your heart. And people will see that joy in your heart. And they'll respond to it. They will respond to it, and that is your open door to let them know why you have such joy in your heart. Amen? Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It's this grace, our discernment and understanding of this grace that brings restoration in our life, I believe. And it's this grace that we have to seek after and dive into. And you know, we've been talking about going deeper with God and this intimacy with God, that understanding this discernment of His grace in our life is what will bring that restoration to you. Amen? Yeah. But grace can't be understood with the mind. It can't be understood with the mind. You can't think your way into it. You can't create a scientific model for it. You can't. It is spiritually discerned. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There are a lot of intelligent people in the world, but this is something that they just cannot think their way into or grasp with their natural mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." This grace that I'm talking about that brings restoration in your life is spiritually discerned. There is a time when you can reason with God. He says, "Come, let us reason together." But you cannot reason your way into His grace. Your natural mind, your natural thinking, cannot discern what His grace is for you. In fact, that was out of the King James, out of the Amplified, and I'll start in verse 13. It reads this way. It says, "And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit." If you're born again, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And it's Spirit speaking to Spirit is how we understand these things and discern them. Verse 14 says, "But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly. They're meaningless. They're nonsense to him. They can't understand it. And he is incapable of knowing them, He's incapable of knowing them. Anyone ever try to tell someone about the experience they had when they first got born again? Someone, an unbeliever, and you try to tell them about that experience, and they don't know what you're talking about. It's just folly to them. It's silliness to them. Because they are trying to perceive something spiritual that happened to you with their natural mind, and they can't do it. In fact, you may have gotten ridiculed for it. I've told some of you this before, but there's some new faces in here. When I got born again, when this beautiful woman sitting on the front row invited me to church, a heathen that I was, I don't know what she saw in me, but she invited me to come to church. And after the second time, and I came back because I wanted to see her again. I didn't care about coming to church. I just wanted to see her. And after the second time I gave my life to Christ, I knew there was something missing in my life. I knew that. I wasn't ignorant of that fact. I just didn't know what it was at the time. And so I got introduced to Jesus. My heart got, that old stony, hard heart got softened. And the love of God just invaded my soul. And I can remember going to my friends, two friends in particular at that time. And, you know, I know y'all don't believe that I was a heathen. I know y'all don't believe that I did anything bad in my life. But I ran around with some guys and we like to have fun, okay? And I went to them and I told them what had happened to me. And, you know, they were like, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know about that. And next thing I know, they were like, hey, well, come meet us at, I think it was Bogan's. Y'all remember Bogan's restaurant in Blacksburg? Come meet us at Bogan's. We're going to have lunch. So I go out there, you know, just want to meet my friends. And, man, they grilled me. I mean, what are you doing? What have you done with your life? We've known people that have said this before. And, here, you know, a week later, they're back to doing their own. What are you getting mixed up in? I got ridiculed. Did that happen to any of you all when you got born again, when you got saved? Now, I know all you holy people probably got, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. I know. I know. Y'all are just like John. I know. But there was a time in my life when I experienced that. That ridicule, because the natural mind cannot understand that spiritual experience that happened to me. What does the word say? We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. The natural mind can't understand these spiritual things. So when you're fighting, you can't fight a spiritual battle with carnal weapons. So if people are coming against you, situations, circumstances are coming against you, natural, you can't fight them with carnal weapons. You have to fight them with spiritual weapons. You don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We've talked about this many, many times. You got a problem with your coworker? It's not your coworker that you have a problem with. More than likely, it's the spirit behind your coworker. And you have to wrestle. Sometimes, guess what? It's the spirit behind us. And we have to discern that. And we have to appropriate the authority that Christ died to give us to rectify that in our own life. Verse 14. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. Verse 15. But the spiritual man tries all things. He examines, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can read the meaning of everything. Let me repeat that. I love how the Amplified breaks this out. He, talking about the spirit-filled person, can be a her, can be a he, it's humankind. can read the meaning of everything. If you're born again, you have the ability within you right now to discern all things. You have the ability within you to discern all things. But no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into Him, the one who's Spirit-filled. We have the ability to read the meaning of everything, to discern, to understand everything. Now, it doesn't mean that we always do or always will. But I believe, and this is, again, coming back to what we've been talking about going deeper with God. Diving in and going deeper with God. That's part of why you should be diving in and going deeper in this book of Romans and reading it and studying it and meditating on it. Because it's going to reveal some things to you about His grace for you. And we have, and it will give you that ability to discern the meaning of everything. To understand everything. And we have to have discernment for the times. We have to understand the times that we are living in. You have to understand that. I believe that it is certainly more critical now than it was 100 years ago to understand the times that you live in. Why is it critical? Because we are, it's my contention, it's my belief that we are the generation that will see the culmination of time as we know it and the return, the second return of our Lord and Savior. I believe that. I believe that with my whole heart. I do. And so I believe that it is important, it is critical to understand the times that we are living in. More so than ever before. Went to Virginia Tech for orientation. I think I told you, McKenna, my daughter, will be going to Tech in the fall. Got any Hokies in here? Yeah. I got to be careful because my wife says that I'm brainwashed. And that if they were to cut me, I would bleed maroon and orange. So I got to be careful, and and I do have a son that goes to another school. Go Hoos! Go Hoos! Wahoo! Wah! So I've got a fine line to walk in my household, right? But we were at Virginia Tech orientation beginning of this week. And I have to admit, here I preach and I teach and I encourage you and I exhort all of you to understand the times that we are in. And I was taken aback by something. So we're in there, right? We're going in and they have at orientation, we're in a big hall. And so they have, students sharing about stuff, and they have faculty members talking about stuff. Well, every person that got up to speak, to address the crowd. And I don't remember the exact words, and maybe you remember them, Nikki, if I get them wrong, but every person before they spoke got up and said, "I'm so-and-so, and I identify with the pronoun her and she." Or if it was a male, he would say, "I identify with the pronoun he and his." Every single person. That just took me aback. I mean, it is a sign of the times. It is a sign. Listen, I love the LGBTQ+ community. I love them with the love of God. I may not agree with what their life choices are, but I love them. And we are all to love all people with the love of God. You don't have to agree with someone's stance in order to love them. How else are you going to impact someone? How many people who have been criticized or screamed at or yelled at or or hated, you know, experienced hate against you. How many of you have converted over to that point of view? Probably not many. We're not going to win the world with hate. Listen, I'm not talking about accepting choices. I'm talking about loving people. I'm talking about loving people. But this is a sign of the times that we are in, folks. How many of you growing up, some of you elderly people that are in here, how many of you fine wise people that are in here? How many of you had to worry about that in your day? Or even think about it? It is a sign of the times that we are in. And you better stand up and take notice. You can't just sweep it under the rug. You have to stand up and take notice. Understand the sign of the times that we are in and act accordingly. And in my case, what it does for me is it gives me a sense of urgency, because I know that His coming is soon. I know. But, you know, when it kind of, I got taken aback, right? These people were up there saying this. And then, at first I was, I think, like minor shock. I was like, well, I mean, I know the conversation that is going on around the nation and all the things that are happening. I don't follow the news on a daily basis, but I am aware of inclusivity and everything that's going on in our world. But when that happened, I had to step back and say, whoa, okay. All right. And then it took me back to the Word. And in Genesis 1, verse 26 says, God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beast, over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image and likeness of God, He created him. Male and female. He created them. He created male and female. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves upon the earth." And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good, suitable, pleasant, and He approved it completely. He created male and female. Why? He states it right there in the Word, to fill the earth. To fill the earth. And then we see this purpose again in Genesis 7. In the account of Noah, and he said, "And the Lord said to Noah, 'Come with all your household into the ark, for I've seen you to be righteous, upright, and in right standing before me in this generation. Of every clean beast you shall receive and take with you seven pairs, the male and his mate, and the beasts that are not clean, a pair of each kind, the male and his mate. Also of the birds of the air, seven pairs, the male and the female.'" Why? "To keep seed, their kind, alive over all the earth or land." Over all the earth or land. The world has been deceived. The world has been deceived. But keep in mind, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is a spiritual battle. I don't know that it does any good. There's, and I can't, the name escapes me, of that church that's in the news all the time where they go and they boycott different places, but it's with hate. It's with hate. And you can see the hate just spewing out of them. That is not a representation of Christ in this earth, I believe. But we are at a time where the world has been deceived, and we should not be in shock as I was that Wednesday morning at Virginia Tech when I heard those pronouns being used. Not even this basic truth that creation itself bears witness to, that He created them male and female, does an unspiritual people understand. They don't understand it. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Verse 20, Romans chapter 1 says, out of the Amplified, "For ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature and attributes, that is, His eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, His handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification." The invisible God has made Himself known by the visible things that He has created. You can look anywhere throughout creation, and it is almost impossible to not see God at work in that. Just the other day, I went down to pick up Levi from Richmond. He went to spend some time with his buddy down there, and I went down to pick him up, and my good friend lives there, and he loves to fish. And fishing's okay, but I love spending time with my friend who loves to fish. And he's got this little John boat, and he takes me out to these little secluded lakes. And it was just a wonderful day, peaceful. I mean, just perfect day. This perfect day. I did not outfish him. I caught 3. He caught 4. But you know, he usually skunks me, so that's pretty good. I'm catching up. But anyways, that's not the point I wanted to make. We were pulling the boat in, and I got off and was holding the boat while he went to get the trailer. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there, and it's more of a pond than a lake, but right there by the side of where the boat is, I'm telling you, if I had to, maybe 50 butterflies just came and kind of were lighting all around me, and they were in the bush beside me, and one landed on me, and just was, you know, you ever watched a butterfly and it lands and the majestic of their wings just kind of back. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. I mean, just these little reminders, daily reminders of creation and how amazing creation is. And then I got to thinking about the process that butterfly had to go through, starting out as a nasty, ugly looking worm, basically crawling on the ground, and then it gets transformed in this majestic creature. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I believe that's evidence of what he's talking about here, the invisible things creating those things that are visible to testify of the invisible. So we can't take those things for granted when we see things like that. And we should be looking for them everywhere we go. But we must discern the times that we are in, even these basic truths that the world is deceived by and denying, that we were created male and female to populate the earth. We must discern the times that we are in. Are you in Romans? Are you in chapter 1? Let me finish reading, starting in verse 16 out of the Amplified. Now I want to read down to 32, the rest of the chapter. And I know that's a long read, but these are for those of you who have not read Romans yet. Or it's a reminder for those that have read it. Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And as a born-again believer, none of you should be ashamed of the gospel, as Paul is sharing here. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation, for the deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing forth faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith and arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. That's who we are. We are a faith church. We believe in faith. Faith to faith. Our faith should be growing as part of our vision to sow faith into people's lives so that they can grow in righteousness. Not grow in their righteousness, but basically grow in their understanding of righteousness and who they are in Christ so that we can go and share the gospel with the world, not be ashamed of it. Sometimes when you don't know, you feel you don't know something, are you hesitant in sharing it? I mean, just think about maybe a work-related situation or Nikki's an LVT. I know early in her career she might not have been comfortable sticking a needle into a dog's vein. But once she got that knowledge and that experience, it's like, you know, she could stick my vein now probably and not care. But you know what I'm saying? So, no, we're not going to do that. Moving from faith to faith. Verse 18, for God's holy wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. Make the truth inoperative. That's key. This is what deception will do. The deception of the enemy on this in this world will make faith inoperative. It will make truth inoperative. Verse 19, for that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So men, women, mankind are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification, because when they knew and recognized him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks. But instead they became futile and godless in their thinking, with vain imaginings, foolish reasoning, and stupid speculations. And their senseless minds were darkened. We are in a place now where senseless minds are darkened. It doesn't mean, it just means that they are spiritually darkened. Spiritually darkened. Verse 22, claiming to be wise, we're getting ready to see the signs of the times coming up. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Professing to be smart, they made simpletons of themselves. And by them, the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal man and birds and beasts and reptiles. They were making idols. We're making idols to themselves. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their own hearts to sexual impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin. Because they exchanged the truth of God, he created them male and female. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen, and so be it. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affections and degrading passions. For their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural and abnormal one. And the men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze, burning out, consumed with lust for one another. Men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and personalities the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution. Verse 28, and so, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of him or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent but loathsome. Until they were filled, they were permeated with and saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping and covetous greed and malice. They were full of envy and jealousy, murder, strife, deceit and treachery, ill will and cruel ways. They were secret backbiters and gossipers, slanderers, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, and boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient, and undutiful to parents. They were without understanding, conscienceless, and faithless, heartless, and loveless, and merciless. Though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. That's quite a harrowing list. And I think we see a lot of that happening in the earth today, don't we? We must discern the times that we are in to create that urgency. One, to not only keep our lives on track, but to help keep others' lives on track as well. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 4, verses 1 through 4 describes some of this same thing. It says, "But understand this, that in the last days will come, set in, perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements, more than and rather than lovers of God." Understanding the times, understanding signs of the times, and not operating in hate, but in love. Understanding that we don't have conflict with individuals. Our conflict is a spiritual conflict, a spiritual battle that is won with spiritual weapons. What are some spiritual weapons? Prayer. Pray. Pray for those. What does the Bible say? Love those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that spitefully use you. This is our warfare, the weapons of our warfare. These are the things that we are to be doing. But as we discern the times, I am encouraged. One, because I believe we are that much closer to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I encourage all of us, discern the times that we are in. Let it stir you up on the inside to share your love of God with everyone. Share your life with everyone. Share your experiences with us, the body of believers whom love you. And we're here for you. And God loves you. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. Share your love. Share your love. Share your love with a world that is deceived, understanding that they are deceived. And it's a deception of the enemy. And we can bring restoration to their life when we understand the grace that He has and the love that God has for them. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank You. I thank You, Lord, that we can come together as a body of believers encourage one another with the words that have been put to paper, inspired of you. Encourage each other with these words. Even more so as we see the day approaching, we're to encourage one another. We're to love one another. And we're to walk in love towards everyone. So let us be encouraged this day, knowing and understanding that this is a day that you have created, Lord, and we are going to be glad. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be happy. Understanding that the trials and tribulations that come across our path are just that. They're coming across. They're not camping out. They're not staying. But they're moving on, or we're moving through. So Father, help us. Holy Spirit, show us, lead and guide us into the truth of your word. And the understanding and discerning of the times that we are in. Knowing that these are difficult times. Your word says they'll be so difficult that some men's and women's and humankind's hearts will fail them for the difficulty of the time. But we are not that. We are not those where our hearts will fail. We are those that stand on your word in faith, stand on your truth, that garrison ourselves with the word of God, with the love and help of like-minded believers, and the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. Show us. Show us your ways so that we can show and lead others to the only way, which is Jesus. Amen. Well, glory be to God. I hope y'all are encouraged today. I hope that you can go throughout your week and looking at creation itself and seeing God alive and well in the visible things that He has created and sharing that with the rest of the world. Not being ashamed of the gospel, not being ashamed of the good news, but loving everyone where you go to. Amen. Amen.